It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Ian Safar back there as well. The gang's all here. What's up, JoJo?
So real quick, I need to take 15 seconds. For those who drive Donaldson Pike every day, what has happened to our road? It's become the worst road in Nashville. For those who know who drive Donaldson Pike,
yeah,
it has become the worst road. And how do you drive that road if you are a metro official, government official who's in charge of what infrastructure, and say to yourself, oh, it's not that bad. It's awful. It is like driving through the desert and the mountains combined at one time. I mean, it is just bumpy, and then it's smooth, and it's like bumpy. It's awful.
I just feel like that's everywhere now.
I mean, I'm telling you, it is something else. So I'm going to
– You're something else.
I'm going to call Carl Dean today and say, hey, Carl, you need to get this taken care of.
And he's going to hang up on you because he's probably at a Red Sox game or something.
Yeah, he is. Seriously, I feel better now. I got it off my chest.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad. Welcome in. We've got a big show planned. John McClain going to join us at 9:30 as we go through the pro days. Oh, man, just get us to the draft already. I'm ready for that. But and also, we know the Titans are – we've known the Titans are going to have a private workout with Cam Ward. I mean, it just – to me, it's all but done. But, they got the pro day at Colorado, so Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. We'll see what happens there. But I think we all know where this is going. And now Russell Wilson is a member of the Giants.
First of all, I'd like to be on the junket that goes these pro days. Because they went to Miami Sunday night, got to dinner and hang out. And, you know, it's being around football and getting paid for. Now you're going to Denver or Boulder right next door and do all that. I want to be on these junkets, man. That's what I want to do and have that. That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
So my Aaron Rodgers dream is still there.
It's still there. I mean, he's the only one that.
Still there.
But it kind of tells me with Wilson going to the Giants that they knew they were out on – either they are tired of waiting on Rodgers or they knew they were out on Rodgers and that he's probably going to go to Pittsburgh. And so Wilson was plan B, and now they have Wilson and Jameis Winston. Now, I don't think that completely closes the door on making a trade with the Titans, but
okay.
I think they know that the price is going to be quite hefty, and so they're looking at alternatives.
Follow me now.
Okay.
Giants go to the Titans. Hey, Russell Wilson – our third rounder, our first rounder next year, and our second rounder this year. Oh, and we'll give us a sixth rounder as well. Would you do that? No?
No.
You're crazy.
Nope, I would not.
You would not take – then you have a quarterback for this year.
Yeah.
You have the third round pick. You could take whomever you want, whether it be Abdul Carter if he's sitting there. Well, you wouldn't mind having Russell Wilson, Abdul Carter – 2 second-round picks, and then their first rounder next year?
So, wait, you said a second rounder or a third rounder?
I want a second rounder. I want your first two picks.
I mean,
I'm giving you number one.
Yeah. I don't know. Russell Wilson to me is just not what he was. He could be a stopgap. I mean, yeah, I'd consider it, but I don't think they'd take it.
He's probably a nice guy. Sound like David Spade and Tommy Boy. He's probably a nice guy. I'd do it all day long, man. Give me the chaos. If you get Cam Ward, you're tied to him. That's your guy.
Sure.
And that, how he goes, you go. But I'm telling you, you get Cam Ward, you're firing Brian Callahan next January. It's happening. Because you're not going to go 8-9, 9-8. If you go 5-12,
dude, if they go 7-10 next year, they're not firing him because that's showing signs of improvement with a rookie quarterback.
You think you could go 7-10 with a rookie quarterback on that roster?
No, I'm just saying.
I think you need to grow up.
No, I'm just saying that if they did, then okay. I think he's good. But you know, and as Paul said this morning, somebody asked that about him getting fired. You know, as Paul pointed out, like it's got to – what's the context? You know, what does it look like? Are they competitive? Are the games close? Is Ward showing signs of improvement? You know, what do the other guys around him look like? Now, I think there is something to that. Or are they just terrible and getting shellacked every game? If that's the case, then yeah, he's out.
Sure, yeah. I mean, if you're showing progress, I'm all for that and, you know, rebuild and keep going. But it's a tall task for a rookie to do that. I still think something's out there and it's not going to be Cam Ward on draft night. And I think part of that's like I want some of this chaos to happen. And I don't like it all, like, laid out for me. Like, laid out, Cam Ward's going to come in here and your quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Here's our first one of the day, 3731 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How about Hendon Hooker trade for Levis? I'm sure we'd have to send a pick, too.
Here's the problem. Why did the Lions go out and sign Teddy Bridgewater last part of the season?
Bingo.
Why?
I want to know
There's
that, too.
Something going on with Hendon Hooker that's not working out in Detroit. It's not at all. So the fact that they got Teddy Bridgewater to come in, who was coaching his high school alma mater to the state championship, is just very odd to me, and that's it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I mean, there's something – either there was a setback with the injury, or he's not progressing the way that they thought he was going to.
I mean, if there's a setback now, that injury happened in November of 22.
Right.
So an ACL, you give yourself a year to get it done. And if it had affected him in 24, then there's something that's going on there. And don't text in about Joe Milton. The only thing I want Joe Milton for is to launch footballs from Nissan Stadium and hit pedal taverns across the river and broad, because he can. That's it.
Yeah, I'm out on that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was laughing at PK this morning. You know, everybody was like, well, Jackson Dart. Get Jackson Dart. He's the best quarterback in the draft. And – no, he could be. I don't think he is, but I think there's going to be – I think there's a team that's probably fallen in love with him and is going to reach. I mean, I think three quarterbacks are going in the first round, you know, because – and I think it'll go Ward, Dart, Sanders.
You think – yeah, I agree. I think Dart goes before Sanders.
I do too. Yep. I think teams are scared of him. But there will be a team – towards the end of the first round, a la Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, that'll be like, okay, all right, we'll take a flyer on him.
Yeah, I could see that. J.J. McCarthy says about Aaron Rodgers going to Minnesota, McCarthy, they haven't told me that I'm the starter. I'm happy they don't because I'm going to earn it.
I like that.
Are they really going to run it with J.J. McCarthy? Do they believe in him that much? They must, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
Okay, well, that's it. But I still – Rodgers is not going to go out quietly. He's going to go somewhere.
I think – look, he's going to Pittsburgh.
Why did they let him leave last week or whenever they met with him?
Because he had to go to his dark room and, you know, pray to a zebra or whatever he does.
That's what she said.
I don't know. I don't know what all he
still
does.
I want the chaos to come here. I want to go to those games.
I would love for you to get that just for the bleep show that it would be, but I just don't think you're going to get it.
Okay. Well, we shall see, man.
I mean, I think Pittsburgh's going to get it. Arthur Smith's going to have to deal with him.
They probably like it because they have a good year. Arthur Smith gets bounced out for a head coaching job again, which he will.
Probably.
Although he mishandled the quarterback situation in Atlanta so bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, but did he ever really have a good one?
I don't know. I mean, he thought the guy from – what's the guy from Cincinnati?
Yeah, Ritter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to talk to Arthur again and say, what was the biggest thing you did not know about when you became a head coach that you wish you knew?
That's a great question.
You wish you knew. What was the guy that took over – that Vrabel didn't coach the preseason game and he's now the DC for New England?
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yep. I forget his name.
Yeah.
And Terrence something.
Tony Dews, is that right?
No, that's the running backs coach.
Terrell Williams.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He was more of the heavier side. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And he said the toughest thing was like realizing you have a challenge flag.
Yeah.
And he goes, I didn't know that's not part of me coaching. I had to realize they got a challenge. And I'm like, man, I get it. I understand. That's things you had no idea about becoming a head coach. So that's the thing with Callahan last year. It was like kind of over his head with a lot of things that go on. Hopefully you get past that and you have a good season going forward. I don't know. That's why we love this, because we don't know what's happening. anytime, anywhere. Everything all at once.
Mike, Mike in Las Casas, I hope, is joking. Says, Levis is a big guy. Put him on the defensive side of the ball. Get some use out of him.
I'd have him breaking rocks in the back of the parking lot, man. What are you doing today? I need to go build this deck. See ya. You're still on the payroll, so go out and do something for us today.
Be a man. Around.
Do you remember, did you ever see Major League 3?
Did not. I did not know there was a Major League
3. There is. Scott Bakula's in it. It's got some funny parts. Okay. Like, it's actually, but there's a scene, remember Rube, who's the catcher in Major League 2?
Yeah.
They always, I mean, the ball's like bouncing everywhere. So Scott Bakula's like talking to him, and he's like, you know, he lets a ball get past him, and then he overthrows first or whatever. He goes up to him and he goes, Rube, did you go to school for anything? And he's like, well, no, coach. No, I didn't. Well, do you have any skills, other skills, like your carpentry, you know, how to do any of that? And he goes, no, all I know is baseball. And he goes, well, you throw another one past the first baseman, you better learn how to build a table. Or something like that. You know, is that what they're saying to Will Levis?
Major League back to the minors.
Yeah, that was it.
I had never heard of that. Bakula, Corbin Burnson's in it. Pedro Serrano's in it. Walton Goggins is in it. I'd never even heard of this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got some funny parts. I mean, it's not like the – see, I even think Major League 2 gets a bad rap, but it's a funny movie.
It's a damn funny movie. Randy Quaid makes that movie. Yeah. So Rube, oh yeah, he's a guy that's in, he was in a bunch of things.
Yeah, but he was in the second one.
Yeah, right. He was in 90210, one of the episodes there. Yeah, he was in Starship Troopers, which is an awful movie that I watch every time.
Awfully fantastic.
This is, Ted McGinley's in this?
He is in there, yes. Yeah, there you go.
Is it worth my time to watch?
I think so. I think you'd laugh at it. I mean, it's one of those that it's like, it's awful but funny.
Right. I'm loving the cast. You got Takeaki Ishibashi, who was in Revenge of the Nerds. The Asian guy that was in Revenge of the Nerds. He's in this. All right, I have to watch it now. Which leads to a question. I mean, what sequels were so bad that you can't stop?
Like that you have, but you still watch it?
Yeah.
All right, let me think on that. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John McClain going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Also be listening for the keyword to win, to qualify to win Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts tickets in the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, May 17th. We'll give you the keyword coming up in just a little bit. It's Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 1063 the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 the game on this Wednesday. Little Ray Charles on this Wednesday. John McClain going to join us in a few minutes, but you just asked the question, the worst sequels of all time.
Based off of?
Major League 3 that you didn't know existed.
I had no idea. And I love movies, man. I had no clue.
Okay, do you remember the movie Blue Lagoon, right?
Sure, with Brooke Shields.
Yep. Did you know there is a Return to the Blue Lagoon that came out in 1991?
What year did it come out?
91.
I had no idea.
Yep, I didn't know that either.
Is there your description? Is it their kid? Does the dad go back to
I think it's like complete I think it's a different cast.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Mine was going to be Rocky V. Terrible.
Is that when Adrian dies?
I think.
When he goes, does he fight at the end, the young guy?
Maybe.
Rocky IV is Tommy Morrison, right? Tommy Gunn? No, Rocky V's Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, Rocky IV is actually good. Rocky IV is when Apollo dies.
That's
and it's,
right.
Dolph Lundgren is, what's the Russian's name?
Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago. Yeah.
Right. So Rocky V is Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rocky V was terrible.
Awful.
Like he loses all his money and like all that stuff.
And
like,
the Don King character.
Yeah.
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 That's a good one. That might be number one. That was so awful.
Let's see. Another one I had, but I was trying to remember which one it was. Real quick.
The second Jurassic Park, awful.
Lost World?
Yeah. Absolutely awful. And that was a money grab on that. But I think Rocky V might be number one because it was so bad.
For the Trekkies out there, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier was terrible.
Hold on. There's a theory with this that all the odd movies were terrible and all the even movies.
I don't know.
We're good.
Search for Spock. I mean, that's...
Was that... What was number two? Three. Wrath of Khan?
Yeah, that's the best one. The first one was meh. You might be right. Wrath of Khan was really good. I like Search for Spock.
What's the one where they go back to San Francisco to look for the whales?
The Voyage Home.
That's number is
fourth,
that?
The fourth one.
See, there's this theory, like 2, 4, 6 was like...
And then 6 was The Undiscovered Country, which was the last one with the original crew.
Yes, which was not bad.
No, that's a pretty good one.
Yep.
And then it transitioned into the Next Generation.
I'm telling you, at the end of 2, when Spock dies,
oh yeah,
and Shatner gives that speech, I get you, man.
Well, and Spock, what is it? The good of the many outweighs the good of the one, or something like
don't
that.
Don't do this to me. Yeah. Not at 9:21. Don't do it. Because that'll get you every time.
Oh no,
it's gonna be hard to top Rocky V. All right, that's just
don't one grieve, of the, Admiral. It's illogical.
And what he's dying in that nuclear chamber. Yeah,
the live long and prosper. Oh yeah, it's so.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm just like but I've walked out at the end going like, yeah, this was bad.
I walked out of RoboCop 2 like 15 minutes into.
That's
it.
On this list that I pulled is up it, of like bad sequels.
It was beyond awful. Home Alone 2, beyond awful. But RoboCop 2 was the one of my
Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2 is fantastic.
You mean Home Alone 3?
Lost in New York?
Yeah, Home Alone 2, that's the one.
That's a great the second movie. One.
You need to terrible. Go find another job.
No,
it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. That's what it is. Spock.
Yep.
Great one. Such a great one.
Pretty tough on that one.
Okay. I disagree on that one. There's a bunch of police academies on here.
Yeah, do they even count, though?
I mean, there's so many.
What about these little goofy Iron Man movies? This is like, wasn't there one Iron Man that was like, was it 2 or 3 that was just awful that people hated? I don't watch those things, so I didn't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't give any elaboration on that, Joe. Okay.
Jaws, The Revenge.
Oh, yes.
There's like a bunch of, like Halloween would be in this category. There's too many sequels there, you know, that like.
Right.
Do you remember the movie The Whole Nine Yards that was Bruce Willis and Matthew Perry?
Pretty bad.
No, that one was good. The whole 10 yards, the sequel was bad.
10 yards. I didn't know
that's on here.
I didn't even know there was a whole 10 yards.
Here's a perfect one. Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Terrible. That's a terrible one.
I don't even know the guy that was in it. It wasn't Keanu Reeves.
Jason Patrick. He was in the movie about the Pacific Northwest and the vampires that try to eat. Oh, God, what's that movie called? Kiefer Sutherland's a vampire.
Hermel Henry on our text line says, Caddyshack 2 and Smokey and the Bandit 3 were abominations punishable by death.
Smokey and the Bandit 3 was bad. Rocky 5 on the Rolling Stone Top 50 is number 13. And it's an awful movie. Yes.
Let's see. 9064. Smokey and the Bandit 3. Let me see my first pair of... You know what? As a 7-year-old, Godfather 3, atrocious.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was very good.
Although Godfather 2 might have been better than Godfather 1, which is crazy.
Have you ever watched it in chronological order? It's incredible. HBO does it.
Yes.
Joey from Bellevue says Iron Man 3 was bad.
Okay. That was one of those.
So there's that one. Let's see. Caddyshack 2's on this list.
Did you say Star Trek Nemesis?
No.
That's number 5 on the Rolling Stone's worst sequels of all time. Bad?
I mean, okay, as a and the program director of 1029 The Buzz, Chris Atticus, could talk about this too. As someone that is a huge Star Trek fan, I was probably not quite fulfilled with it. you know, it didn't put a bow on everything like I needed it to, because it was supposed to be like the end of the next generation cast and everything. And they kind of did that with the show Picard, but yeah, I mean, it had potential, but it was not quite what it needed to be.
A critic says, if I called this movie a complete turd, that'd be an embarrassment to a turd. That's how bad this movie is.
Damn. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Number four on this list, Dumb and Dumber Part 2, which made me laugh.
But
what did you expect? Casablanca?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it was.
Look,
and they misspelled the title, too, which is better.
There's some movies that, like The Hangover Part 2, like you should have just left it alone. You didn't need any more.
Right.
Like, I didn't think The Hangover Part 2 was very good.
Ooh, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, number three.
That's pretty bad.
Pretty came out there. Number two is Highlander 2, The Quickening. Why would you? I had no idea. We made that movie. That movie, the original, was fantastic.
Mama's House 2.
And number one, the worst sequel ever, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, that's number one on
the
list.
That's pretty bad. I will give you. They have Major League 2 on this list, and I don't like that. You said Piranha 2, the spawning. Son of the Mask. That was a terrible movie.
Son of the Mask.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. I forgot the
name. Pretty bad, second, right?
The first one was pretty bad, too. So, The Bad News Bears Go to Japan. I didn't even know they made that.
No.
Leprechaun 2. Remember the Leprechaun?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, some of these you're being, like, Michael Caine was in Jaws 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And they're like, were you embarrassed for that? And he's like, no, because I bought my mom a house with what I made in that movie.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm not. I'm like, all right, I get it.
Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
House 2, The Second Story. Escape Plan 2, Hades. That was Sly Stallone and Dave Bautista.
I don't know. What was Escape Plan 1?
I have no idea. Grown Ups 2.
They've admitted that was a money
was
grab.
Bad.
That's a money grab.
Here we go
them.
Into the Halloweens. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Just
Teen Wolf 2.
Bad. The Jason Bateman was the wolf.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Species 2. RoboCop 3 is on here. Yeah,
I mean, some of those you get, they're just trying to make money and live off of that.
Sure, it's like we're just going to.
But I will tell you, the flip side, I know we got John McClane coming on. The flip side, I think the best sequel ever to a movie, the best, Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's a good one. By the way, we have one text that's mad that we're not talking sports.
Is it Jared?
No. Okay. 6590 says, is this sports or not?
It's not.
No, it's not.
But thank you. Yeah. It's your show on, again, ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just kind of do whatever. So, deal with it. John McClain going to join us coming up next. We'll talk sports with him. Don't worry. We'll get his thoughts on Cam Ward and so much more. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Little Ray Charles for us here. Always good. We'll catch up with John. There we go. We'll bring in John McClain now from Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I love talking sports with Nick while I'm waiting for you guys, especially the Astros and opening day. It's a great time in Houston, just like it is in Nashville, with people knowing they're going to take Cam Ward with the first pick. And down here we got baseball. I'll tell you something. As soon as baseball expands, Nashville's going to get a franchise. So they better get – they've got that baseball group there looking for land for a stadium. They better get those ducks in a row because it's coming.
I hope so. I mean, this is actually – it's funny you bring this up. This is an argument that Joe and I have like every few months, because I say within, you know, really like 7 years, it's probably going to happen. He says no, but – I think you look at what's happening in Tampa with the Rays, that could be a possibility, or like you said, the group here wanting to do something. But now that they're getting the new Titan Stadium built, you know, there's some spots over there they could do something, but they gotta work it out.
as you guys know, there's doers in Nashville. I mean, I know the people behind the scenes won't agree with this, but for them to get a football stadium for the Titans, I know it wasn't easy, but there was not a lot of contentiousness and battles back and forth that got a lot of national attention between economists and politicians and business leaders fighting over where the stadium would go, who benefits from it. And then after we saw what they did getting the Oilers and then the Predators, and they're not going to get another team to move. It's going to be an expansion franchise. And I know when they had Dave Dombrowski, that gave them the best credit of all, but he's one of the greatest executives in history. But I agree with you, because I just spent 5 days in Las Vegas, and they're going to have that stadium ready in 3 years. And then they'll get something done with the Rays, because if you're the politicians over there, you do not want to lose, be the ones in office that loses a franchise. Because I think they'd love to be in Tampa, but they have done so much in downtown St. Petersburg, and the roof coming off their stadium, which was awful, is the best thing that could happen to them. And even though it's going to force them to play in the Yankees' spring training site, and baseball will make up the deficit of incomes for both of them, including the A's playing in Sacramento. But I think within 7 years, because they've already said once those stadiums are taken care of, that's when they'll expand, and the first team will be Nashville.
I think you're going to be right, John. As you mentioned, Cam Ward likely going number one overall to the Titans. They had his pro day in Miami. The Titans brass was all down there. It took him to dinner. There's going to be a private workout and all of that. I may have asked you this before, but at what point in 95 did it become very apparent that, you know, they were going McNair at number three? I know it wasn't number one overall, but it was number three. But everybody kind of knew that was the direction they were going to go. Because I feel like now we're just, you know, killing time until the draft, because it's a foregone conclusion.
Yes, it is a foregone conclusion. It's been a foregone conclusion. And the only way they wouldn't take Cam Ward is if they were playing possum and they were going to take Shedeur Sanders, but it's going to be Ward. And let's see, Steve, third overall, Floyd was running the show. Jeff was the coach. They kicked the tires on a couple other guys, but they needed a quarterback. They signed Christine Chandler, as we call him, because he was always hurt. And he knew the name of the medical term for every medicine, the trainers and doctors said. And they brought in Jerry Rome, and Jerry had coached him in Phoenix. So he was going to be the starter. Steve was ready, and they knew way early. We knew it was going to be Air McNair. And back then, Floyd Reese would tell you, well, he told me off the record early on, because at the time, of course, there was no internet. There was no website. So you wanted the paper in town to get behind it and to give it a lot of publicity. And so I would write they were going to take McNair. On talk shows, we'd talk McNair. They wouldn't say it, because you should never say it. You know, you never know. You have to always say, yeah, we'll listen. Somebody wants to give us the greatest trade in history. And then when they drafted Steve, nobody was surprised, and they were prepared for it, and they were fired up. I remember Bud let several media people, not me, but several media people go up on the plane to New York and pick up McNair after the draft and come back with him. And when they landed at the private airport here, Call Hull Airport, the media was out there like crazy to catch him coming off the plane. So people were so excited about Air McNair and new regime and the way things were headed. And they signed him to a 7-year contract. You can't do that anymore. So with a 7-year contract, they knew they could take their time, but right away you could see he was special.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, this is a question, and I can't wait for your answer. Of all the number one picks, not picking at number one, but the franchise, Oilers, Titans, who do you think was the greatest number one overall draft choice by the franchise? I mean, there's a few answers. For me, I think it's Javon Kearse, but I'm different. Who do you think it is?
Well, if you're counting the Oilers, it's Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell's greatest player, one of the greatest in history. Kearse is not in the Hall of Fame, and Earl was the first ballot. He changed the whole direction of this franchise, created Love You Blue, got to the AFC Championship game 2 years, only to have to play at Three Rivers Stadium. That's unquestioned here.
Yeah, I just get your opinion on that. Yeah.
No, Javon Kearse couldn't carry his job when it comes. Javon Kearse is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, if you're talking about first round picks that they had in Nashville, that would be different. But when it comes here, you ask that question, it's instantaneously Earl Campbell, Tyler Rose.
Because we were talking yesterday, Chase and I, about number one overall picks when the franchise had the number one pick. And then Earl in 78 and John Matusak in 73. And I was like, oh, but you forget about Matusak being there. So with that pick, I mean, at number one, you see through history, you got to get it right more than anything else. And they got it right with Earl Campbell. Hopefully they get it right with Cam Ward.
Well, they got it right with Matusak because they traded him in one of the worst trades in the history of any sport. He was a big screw-up. He could play. But all he wanted to do was party. And somehow they convinced Hank Stram and the Chiefs to take him. And the Chiefs gave them nose tackle Curly Culp, who is the greatest nose tackle in history. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And then the number one pick. And they used that number one pick on Dr. Doom, linebacker Robert Brazil, also in the Hall of Fame. And Matusak did better with the Raiders in that year they won the Super Bowl. But he was overall a huge bust. But he brought them two Hall of Famers. And you don't see many trades in history in any sport that they can say that.
Is it the thing with, you know, the Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys, and the Vikings trade? Because that was so one-sided. Is that still in the back of maybe some teams' minds? Like, look, if I make this trade, I don't want to go down. I just think that kind of tempers a little bit of trading because nobody wants to be talked about in that vein with the worst trade of all time.
Well, if you think about that, then you can't be in the business.
Right.
Because the thing that Jimmy Johnson did, and when the trade was made for Herschel Walker, one of the best running backs in the NFL, people are like, what in the world is Jimmy Johnson doing taking these older players? They're not very good. But Jimmy, for whatever reason, and I can't remember why he said, he had it in that deal that he could cut those players and get first-round picks. But the Vikings would not let him announce that. And so he said, okay. So he took all the heat for trading one of the greatest running backs in the NFL for too many players. And as soon as whatever the deadline was, I guess before the draft, he got those players and got high picks. One of them was Emmitt Smith. And it turned out it's still the best trade in NFL history because they turned that into three Super Bowl champions. You know, we've had the worst trade in Houston history. It was Kenny Houston, first ballot Hall of Famer, greatest strong safety in history, to Washington for a bunch of tomato cans. And people say, well, DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien, got rid of him. Yeah, it was a bad trade. But if Hopkins is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame on the first ballot, which he won't be, then he can talk about it with Kenny Houston. So this franchise's history. They've had the great one of Earl Campbell to get the first overall pick for a backup tight end, Jimmy Giles, and I think their pick was third, and to get Earl. And then the worst one, getting rid of Kenny Houston. And I still don't know why they did it because I was still in high school when it happened. But I see Kenny all the time, and he's never been told either.
Wow. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe. Right now, Text in the keyword Mony, M-O-N-Y, M-O-N-Y, to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of all-inclusive Eurostone Club tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, May 17th, served up by Bavarian Beer House located in Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Text Mony, M-O-N-Y, now to 615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. Always enjoy these conversations. Now, you said you text me and said you got a good Oilers draft story.
I do. The more I think about draft when we're in a break, stories just pop up. And I apologize if I've told this story before, but it's one of the strangest I was ever involved in. I should have looked up the year. Mike Olivak, the late, great Mike Olivak, who was the best personnel man I've ever seen, was the general manager here. They put Ladd Herzog out to pasture in 1989. Mike was retiring and moving to Sarasota. Bud Adams called him and said, hey, how would you like to be the GM? And at that point, Mike might have been 80. I can't remember. And so they had a draft. They need the kicker. And they drafted a guy from Air Force named Joe Wood. And we interviewed Joe, and Mike was so fired up about getting him. And his philosophy was always, the GM drafts him, the coach coaches him. And GM makes the final decision on personnel. And we interviewed the kicker, and he told us how excited he was. He didn't expect to be drafted because a lot of kickers didn't get drafted then. And we told him, boy, they needed a kicker. And he said, well, he said, when I get off my active duty, I'll be ready to come to Houston. We're like, what? And he had four years that he had for the Air Force. He had a commitment. And we talked, we get Mike Olivak, we tell him, Mike, you're not going to get Joe Wood for 4 years. And his reaction was, oh, that was the quote. Oh.
How do you not know that?
Today you would know that. And I'm guessing everybody knew it. But poor old Mike, because he was so excited to get a kicker, used the draft. Low. It was a low pick, though. And I don't know if Joe ever played.
Am I right? Floyd took over for him, right?
Right. Floyd was headed to Atlanta with Jerry Glanville. Glanville had hired Floyd as linebackers coach here. Floyd's nickname was Sarge because he was so tough on the players, and he was a really good coach. So when Glanville, he didn't get fired. Bud let his contract run out, and he was hired by the Falcons almost immediately. Floyd was going as his defensive coordinator. And then Tommy Smith, Bud's son-in-law, liked Floyd a lot, came up with the idea. And he went to Bud. Well, what do we think about Floyd Reese as a personnel guy? Mike's old, and he's going to need a replacement. Floyd's sharp. Let's run it by him. So they called Floyd in. They ran it by him. Said, what would you think about a career change? He talked it over with his wife, Sally, and decided to make the move. And Mike treated him like a dog because Mike was very territorial. And so Floyd was officially the assistant GM, and we would say, yeah, Floyd. Hey, Floyd, how's it going? And he would tell us off the record, of course, well, Mike's got me in a dark office, and every once in a while they open the door and shovel some you-know-what on me. And then they close the door. And then they elevated Floyd right when free agency started. And it couldn't have been a worse time. And Bud came for his annual State of the Oilers address at training camp in San Antonio, and he told the players, this is going to be last year. A lot of you are here. You know, we're good. I pay you a lot of money. And they say there's going to be a salary cap. We're not going to be able to keep a lot of you. And while he was telling them that story, they started throwing dollar bills at him. And, like, in case he needed help with the money. And we're not in there, of course, but that's what the players told me. So while I guess it was like raining dollar bills like in a strip club, Bud's talking, and they're widening up ones and throwing them at him, maybe a 5 or a 10 in there. And it was hilarious. But you know what? He was right. They let guys left, right. They left right and left, and then they traded Warren Moon because they asked him to take a pay cut, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he said no. So they elevated his backup, Cody Carlson, traded him to Minnesota in a terrible deal.
Wow. Nice.
And you had the Cody Carlson contract. You had those numbers right. No matter what Floyd said.
I did get those Cody Carlson numbers right, even though Floyd tried to claim otherwise.
That's great. John, the Patriots have signed Stephon Diggs, 3-year, $69 million deal. Vrabel knows if you got a quarterback up there, you got to have people to throw it to. Do you like this deal for the Patriots?
I do, because they had a lot of money, more money to spend under the cap than anybody. And I saw the list of players they brought in, and it's impressive from a free agent standpoint. But Diggs is 31, next season be 32, coming off a torn ACL from the middle of the season. Now they're putting it out. He's going to be ready for the start of the season, and maybe he will be. Diggs he was averaging 10 yards a catch, but he was on a pace for about 100 catches and a little over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. Now, Nico Collins missed 5 games and he was the go-to receiver. So for him to get that kind of money is kind of preposterous. The Texans wanted him back, but they weren't going to give him anything like that because they didn't have it to give, and they made so many changes in their offensive line. So everybody wishes him the best with the Patriots. I think he'll be good for Drake May. I hope he's 100% and plays a few more years.
Going to be interesting to see. John, always enjoy the conversation with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Awesome. John McClain joining us here on the program. He always does Wednesdays at 9:30. Coming up next, I'm excited about this. We're going to talk some college football.
Well, we're going to talk something that you and I are going to go to bat for.
Yes.
Pun intended. About something that should happen with spring football that we're both very adamant should get done.
We will do that coming up next. It's Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.